This is Tony the Forgotten.
Actually, you just heard Justin the Forgetful.
It's Monday. Actually, it's not Monday. But unlike...
Hey, they don't know that.
That's true. Unlike normal form, I'm usually flying solo on Monday, but I don't really like talking, doing shows by myself because, one, I run out of air. Two, I'm bored. And then three, it's like it just proves to the general public that I talk to myself.
Well, you definitely talk to yourself. That doesn't matter whether we hit the record button or not.
I mean, I think it's okay as long as you don't start arguing with yourself. That's when it gets awkward. And then when it gets violent, then that's really awkward.
Let's get the straitjacket because I'm done.
This is Justin and Tony with Technology
Rocks. What?
Trying out some new audio tricks. You probably noticed that on the weekend recap show. You can now hear us in all fidelity, high fidelity. Yeah. So,
does whispering make it better?
Possibly. Actually, you can actually hear what Tony's saying now, including eye rolls and other bodily movements, functions, and functionality.
You couldn't hear my eyelash just then.
Yeah, no, usually I don't have him on Monday shows, and I figured, you know, today's been a little bit of a slow day, so I figured, you know, we can try to squeeze another one in. I said that, now somebody's probably going to come in the door now.
That just sounds so dirty. So dirty.
It's Monday. It's a kid's show. Leave it alone.
Oh, no. It's a family show.
That's true.
Some families are weird.
Also true. So... today's show is going to be just actually, it's going to be a little bit of a, introduction of what we're doing. So Tony and I, some of you may have noticed we did start our YouTube channel, Technology Rocks Style. We did an AirPlay video. We had another couple questions about how to do AirPlay. Like, they saw it, got the concept, but still don't know how to use it. And so that's what prompted the video. So we got our feet wet with that. So far, thus far, the feedback's been pretty good on that. That's a lot of work, T. I mean, that's a lot of work.
That's why there's a whole industry of people that get paid a lot of money to do it.
Right. Which, you know, if they get paid a lot of money to do it, it would be nice if we could have some of that. But it's fun. I will say it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the podcast experiment thus far has been just that. It's been an experiment. It's been fun. Just like the wine and vinyl thing, it's something that T and I kind of tiptoed into and thought, hey, it'd be cool if, you know, and then that's why we're here. We didn't know that people actually wanted to listen to this stuff, so it's been an interesting ride thus far, you know, as we approach 500 now,
right?
So yeah, so we're gonna start by because assuming that most of you may not make it to the end of the show. Yeah, we're gonna start by teaching you how to like or subscribe and why that's important. I know we went into that with the weekend recap.
It's a very difficult thing. You just click on that button that says like.
Just click the button.
So hard to do.
Click the mouse.
So hard to figure out.
Click the button. So, yeah. Oh, either on your phone or your device or your iPad or whatever you may or may not be using on whatever platform you may or may not be using. But subscribing actually helps us create a trajectory for the show schedule, because it shows us what you guys like to listen to, what you...
Also helps us figure out, like, you know, who's coming back, like, every day. You know, because we're... Our episodes only come out 3 times a week, but we have other stuff that comes out in between that, so we have something coming out every day.
And sometimes the lighter shows are actually doing better than the heavy episode topics, and maybe that's what you guys want to hear. Maybe it's just you want light banter as you're driving to work, not listening to the news and listening to your, or looking at your phone, you're listening to podcast after you like or subscribe. So now the YouTube, so Tony and I kind of did it backwards. You're supposed to start with the YouTube thing and then extract audio onto that and create a podcast after that. You know, we always learn the hard way, so we're going to jump into the YouTube. But the YouTube thing is going to be different. It's going to, we're going to start jumping into going and revisiting some of these monster builds that we've done over the course of since we opened Define, and some of these builds are just massive builds.
Like that, the Star Wars house?
The Star Wars theater, and then there's just the traditional JBL Synthesis theater. There's just, you know, the outdoor monster that's, you know, we're always there. And just a lot of the different cinemas that we've done over the years that have just been really good fun, that we're going to turn that into a YouTube. We've got so much content that we can film and video. We've got hopefully a big surprise for you with one of our special guests that's going to come in. We actually have to record a mock show with him so he can submit it to corporate. So it's actually going to be that big of a deal and that big of a show. Somebody that's got over 30 plus years of experience working in the commercial cinema side of things and now works for a really large corporation that does nothing but build those things all over the country. He's all over the place. So he's very hard to nail down, but I did have actually a really good conversation with him this morning about coming onto the show, and he's on board with it. He's actually asked management about it several months ago.
Yeah, actually. You got to clear that red tape of things you can and cannot say before you come onto a show like this, because some things are secret. Some things are just not public for the general public knowledge.
Yeah, and we tiptoed around maybe even recording a show where he can give us kind of a back lots tour of one of these monsters. And I've been on those types of tours with him before and just mind blown of the stuff that he gets to play with every day and the giant things that he gets to do every day and stuff like that. So, and it's always been good fun. He worked for another smaller cinema company where he was designing cinemas for them as well. And now he works for the biggest one you could want to be at, you know, the pinnacle of being there. So, and they have some trade secrets and things like that that we have to be careful of. So, but the thing about that entity is most of that is proprietary stuff that they have developed just for their thing. So it's not like anybody could take the concept or do something weird with that. And so, but anyway, we're super excited to get him in here to do that mock-up. And if you're listening, we were hoping to see you today, but, you know, it is what it is. So, mm-hmm. No guilt trip. I see how it is. I see it. No, he's a very busy guy and has a very, he's an on-call schedule. So it's literally, you have no clue where the guy's going to be half the time. So anyway, we're excited for that because we want to show kind of a contrast between what commercial cinema actually does, which is a lot of where I came from and where I cut my teeth on was a lot of the commercial audio side versus what home cinema is trying to mimic. And so he's very pro add more subwoofers to the system and very pro, you know, just he doesn't quite, you know, it totally goes right along with our belief of, you know, bass is a directional beast where you can make a lopsided sound system if you're not careful, you know, and things like that. So,
right.
And he plays with the big stuff. He's on the big show. He's not, you know, we're not talking about high-end home cinema. We're talking about cinema, you know. So he is in the largest cinemas in the country.
Yeah, he's working with some of the largest screens and theaters
in the world.
Yeah,
in the world. Yeah,
literally screen size largest there are out there.
Right. So With that being said, we can't really, even though if you scratch your head lightly and look up at the sky, you can probably figure out what entity we're talking about. But we're excited. We're excited if he can come on board. Again, he's got to go through management. So Tony and I have to do a mock-up show with him and submit that to management just to kind of get a genre of what direction we're going to take that show in. He doesn't foresee it to be a problem, neither did the management, but there's just certain boundaries that guidelines we got to stick within. So, but we're super excited to have this particular person on board. So talk about a monster show, and we're trying to get some YouTube videos out of that, like maybe take a day, shoot the whole day and make miniature videos out of it, you know, so you can have just content out the wazoo with just stuff that lots of folks haven't seen before. So a lot of cool sneak previews, a lot of cool vendor information. May 15th, Martin Logan is actually going to do, we're still hammering out some details on that. Martin Logan's actually going to do a trunk show at our store, meaning they're...
So what are they bringing? Like, what series are they going to be bringing?
Everything except what we have. So we already have the full motion line here, so they're going to focus on the Electrostat and what they call the Monolith Electrostat, which is the their flagship largest speaker that they make on that. And then we're gonna have food, and it's gonna be catered, the whole thing. We're gonna have kind of a cool party, hang out and drinks and all that good stuff. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's the first time we've ever done a show like this at Define. So it's actually the first time a vendor's actually approached us and said, hey, you're a masterpiece dealer. Do you want to do X, Y, and Z? And so we were like, yeah, no, that sounds awesome. So more details on that. Right now, the tentative date is May 15th for that event. So it'll be pretty fun where we're going to have it sponsored. They're taking care of the whole thing. They're going to bring some amplifiers and all that stuff because they're going to need them to power these things, because this is, we're talking about monster speakers here. So good friends at Martin Logan are doing that. So that'll be fun. Got some new news coming down the pipe from...
New news.
Yeah, new news. Now you screwed me up.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, it's like the episode of Saturday Night Live where everybody's trying to make Justin Timberlake laugh. That's literally, if you watch when Tony and I are shooting something, that's why I just break out in laughter. The sound effects and things are always added after the fact, but half the time he's just doing all kinds of crazy stuff to get me, mainly because he's behind the camera and he gets to, so it'll be fun. So that'll be a fun event. I don't think even you knew about that one. So
I know a little bit about it. I heard you talking about it the other day to
Dorsey. Yeah.
Yeah. And but as far as like, you know, I didn't know what the projected date was or anything.
Yeah. So that's the projected date thus far, unless something changes. So May 15th, what day is that? Can you look that up? I don't even remember what day that is.
May 15th. Well, it's May 15th, man.
I think it's Saturday, right? Isn't that a Saturday?
I'm not sure.
Or is that a Friday? I don't remember. Well, Tony will look it up. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of cool stuff. So we have a lot of Martin Logan on display. We do a lot of cinema stuff, so most of the stuff we have is what they call the F series. So that would be the F50.
It would be in the middle of the week on a Wednesday.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay, we need to go.
That's not really gonna work.
No, that's not. That's kind of weird. Maybe. Hang on. Let me just make sure. Where is my phone? Surely not May 15th. Then. Hang on, Dave. Let us see. No, it said May 15th. Yeah, we need to reschedule that. That's when Wednesday is not a good... That's like hump day for everybody. Like, you know...
Hump day!
Like in the middle of the week. So we'd rather be on a weekend. But anyway, so I know it's coming. I know we plan on doing it. We already have their F series on display, which is typically used in a cinema application, which rightly so. It's a great snap, crackle, pop, synthetic sound speaker. But yeah, so that's coming. So current events, T-Bone's going to be at Comic Palooza. I know we just keep beating that into submission, 24th, 25th, 26th. So Memorial Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, booth 1932.
Get your name on the list now for commissioned artwork, because the spots do fill up quickly. And, you know, you don't want to miss out on getting your own original piece. And when you commission me to do something, you get to actually be in control of what I'm drawing.
I will also be there for commissioned artwork.
Yes, his stick figures are not so good.
Bar none. I can not draw so good. A mean stick figure. I will also be there for... you can commission me as well, and I will
happily... You don't have to go ahead of time to get on his list.
I will happily sign Tony's artwork for him if you need me to.
That's okay.
I do random dots on things that Tony draws, so, you know, I can take credit for just a little bit of it. Most of the time, he doesn't notice, but a lot of the time, he does notice, like, what'd you do? You know, so, yeah. So that's coming up. Sip and paint, or paint and sip. I don't know what it's called. Okay, sip and paint. Sip and paint.
Not really a good thing to do. I wouldn't recommend sip and paint.
Is a TBD. We need to check with Shelly and try to see.
That has to do with two different situations. One, the original date of April 13th is not going to work, because that's the same weekend as the Wine and Art Festival off the waterway in the Woodlands. And that's a huge event that I just can't compete with that. That brings thousands of people out. I know if I was doing like a sponsored after party for that, it'd be way different. But I know I'm not on that list.
Yep. So sip and paint, TBD, wine and vinyl. I think we kind of covered that on the weekend recap of the details on that. So 17 minutes in, like or subscribe. So we need your help, and we need subscribers. We need
actually,
people.
Actually, what would really be more beneficial is like and subscribe, because like helps us with what episodes you actually like, so that we have an idea of what content we're covering that is actually doing something for you. And then subscribing helps you with getting the new episodes as soon as they release.
Yeah, no, can't agree with that more. I mean, I can't say it any better. So yeah, that just helps so much. If you are interested in doing it, you know, and if you're not, it's no big deal. So, but if you are, then
tell your friends about us,
because we need your help, especially with the YouTube. The YouTube, we're probably going to keep it to 3 videos a month, maybe. And then as we get better, we're going to start actually videoing the podcast, and that'll make the podcast and video process a little bit more interesting. Somebody had to explain to me, I was like, who in the heck wants to watch a bunch of people sitting in front of microphones, sitting on couch? But to
you
this individual,
the same question of who wants to sit there and watch somebody play video games?
To this individual's point, they love to watch the facial expressions, because there's a lot that's being said through silence and eyes and looks that is just naturally funny between the two people. Kind of
don't
like
what you're talking about.
Yeah, Tony does to me on a daily basis. So we need your help to do that, if you would be so kind as to do that, because that helps us grow the show. The show is already growing. It's going to grow regardless, but it just speeds up the process and helps our team of individuals who are watching it and watching the progress keep track of, okay, let's do another show on this, or let's do another show on that. So I don't know. It's so weird to have you on a Monday show. So I'm thrown off by having you here on a Monday show. So it's
why
just...
I'm staring at you so awkwardly.
Well, it's better than me staring at myself. So
That or Stan that has no idea what to even say.
True. So technology rules and regulation, going back into our home theater series, rule number one was...
make it an experience.
Rule number two is...
experience.
Make it an experience. Yeah, and rule number two was listening is subjective. And then rule number three, not really a rule number three. I need to change rule. Number three is more of a statement. It's almost like 2-A or something. It's rule... it's that is our... forums good for you to base your buying opinion
on. No, this is
on.
What I said before. It's still a rule. You can sit there, but the rule is use forums for education, not for your end-all be-all of how you're going to choose the speakers you want to listen to. They are there to help educate you on different things, not... say, hey, well, this person says this is his best speaker, so since this guy says the best speaker, then it's the best speaker, and I don't need to do anything else. I just need to listen to this guy because he knows more than anybody else.
So you want to keep it as a rule number three, then?
Rule number three, use okay. it as a tool for learning, not for actually making your final decision.
So that leads us into... rule number four, which I just had, and then I waved at it as it passed my brain. But yeah, no, I agree with that on the rule number three is listen lots, you know, listen to a lot of stuff. Go out there and listen to it. And oh, now I remember. Rule number four, I was filibustering there for a minute. Rule number four is use the right tool for the job. You know, and don't use a Corvette to tow a trailer, you know, and I would say don't use a truck on a drag strip, but then everybody will disagree with that for people that like to race trucks. So
I was going to say, because then you'd have to say, don't use a motorcycle on a drag strip. And they do that too.
It's true. But don't use a motorcycle to tow a trailer. That's even a better analogy.
Oh, they actually have ones that are specifically for that.
Jeez. So what I would say is research, 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 talk to experts to make before you do your buying choices. Do not take a speaker that has what we call a horn tweeter compression driver and put it in a small room. You know, use that in a large room. You know, use the right tool for the job. Lean on your expert for that. Just because some Looney Tune on a forum says that he has it and it's the best thing in the world doesn't mean that it was built for that particular application. There are certain speakers that I absolutely adore for music, and they just don't do movies well. They don't translate well into movies. And then there are some speakers that I love for movies, and then when you want to listen to connoisseur type of music or use it for a connoisseur type of music experience, it does not do the job well. So it just, you know,
don't roller skate in a buffalo herd.
Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Yeah. do it. Yeah, no. So that's what I'm saying is there's lots and lots of research out there of what speakers are to be used or what speakers will have the best end result in certain applications. And then... let your ears be your guide. You know, some people are just, they just love a certain brand and they don't care what the expert says and they'll throw them in there and their ears will be bleeding and they just love it. And that's okay. That's okay. If that's you, then there's nothing wrong with that because it's subjective, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to sit there and you're going to like what you like, but I know, like what you like based on an educated decision. I know, even if in the end you end up picking the speaker that we disagree with you on, that doesn't matter. at the end of the day, you're the one that it's going to be in your theater or your media room, and you've got to be happy with it, not us. We're just here to help guide you along the way.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it boils down to, you know, and that's another topic that kind of leads into another topic is should people be used... Are you compromising one experience over the other when you take a when you make it a dual purpose room? You know, because
I would say depends on the listener, because some people can't hear any of the differences that we're talking about. And then you've got people that claim to be able to hear someone's lips separate.
Right. Well, the thing about that is in a two-channel situation, you need to tow in your speakers for imaging. In a cinema situation, you don't necessarily need to tow in your speakers, which when I say tow, that means to angle at the list where the listener's seating position is toward their ears. So when you're in a cinema situation, it's all about panning left to right or from right to left. It's not about imaging because you have a center channel. In a musical situation, you do not have a center channel unless you're referring to atmospheric music, which is a thing now. For those that aren't familiar with atmospheric music, it's music that's recorded in a Dolby Atmos or spherical format for your cinema. So it enhances that. With that, so it enhances that experience. Apple's working on something called spatial audio. I know
spatial audio makes sense to me for video, but doesn't make a lot of sense to me for two channel audio. It doesn't. I don't get it.
I don't think I would sit in a room with 11 to 13 speakers and listen.
Okay, we'll translate that also to your car. Then the people sitting in the back of your car, they're going to be like, oh, hey, that cymbal sounds amazing. Where's the rest of the music?
He moved positions on the drum throw.
The people in the front are going to be like, hey, this guitar sounds really good, but I can't hear the cymbals or I can't hear the tom drum because they're in the back of the car.
I would say,
or however it's mixed.
I would say that experience is a doughy scenario, not necessarily a baked scenario. So I'm not sure.
People like Apple making it a requirement for the artists that are releasing music to have it in spatial audio is requiring them to have something in a form that have we discovered is something that we really need yet.
Actually, there's a correction there. It's not a requirement. However, the artist will get paid more if they submit two tracks, one being a stereo and then now a spatial audio track. But it's not a mandate right now. But there has been talk that it could be a mandate. But as of right now, the artist will make more money if they do, which now, of course, they're all going to do it. Even if it sounds like crap, they're going to submit it because they make more money.
Does that mean, like, if I'm listening to a studio recording of, Eric Clapton. If he farts now, is it gonna like be positioned like behind me, and it's gonna sound like he farted behind me? Because otherwise, I just don't care.
That all depends. If he farted in the original recording, then and you could hear it coming towards you, then yes. But if he did not fart in the original recording and you could not hear it audibly, then probably not.
Okay. still don't care about it.
That's a good question, though. That's totally a good question, though. But,
I mean, you got people that honestly don't even know where anything is supposed to come from. All they know is they're supposed to hear drums, they're supposed to hear bass, they're supposed to hear guitar, they're supposed to hear the singers. They don't know, oh my God, I'm supposed to hear this drum on this side of my head, and I'm supposed to hear this drum on this side of my head. And the guitar's supposed to be, you know, slightly off to the left of me. And, dude, people aren't, I'm sorry, they don't care. They just don't.
So I think it's more about trying to recreate you sitting in the studio, not behind the console, but in the live room, which, by the way, bands are very rarely recorded all at once in a live room. There's been a few, but very rarely do they do all that in a jam room. If they are in a jam room, they're not really recording. They're just jamming.
But this is also being headed by a generation that thinks MP3s sound good.
I don't know. I would have to experience this in a way that I would just have to experience it and try to figure it out.
I think it's a much smaller market than they realize.
I think it's, well, I agree. I think it's there to sell.
It's like the you know, the audiophiles. That is a much smaller group that really cares. Can they hear, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan's fingers slide across the strings on the guitar? Very few people could care less about that. You know, very few people are going to say, oh, I can actually hear the hum from his Tweed amplifier. You know, there's very few people that are going to care about that. So the fact that they're creating a whole world around this makes no sense to me.
I happen to be one of those people.
Yes, and you're one in, like, probably 500,000.
No. The number's way higher than that.
Okay, 2.5 million.
No, it's way higher than that. I think that's more important to somebody that's a musician, just because it's like home to them. It's imperfection to me. When I listen to a recording that's too perfect, I don't like it. You know, there's something wrong with it. Just kind of like, it's kind of like looking at a picture of your favorite actress or actor and it's too perfect. You know, it's not beautiful. I mean, it's almost doll-like, you know
what I
mean?
It's called AI.
Yeah. Well, that too. Right. Well, exactly. And, yeah, no, I do think it's cool that on a certain pairs of speakers that I can hear Eric Clapton doing a percussive thing with his finger while playing Layla that most people can't hear or pick up on, but you can hear it if you have the right set of speakers. To me, that's neat, you know, but I don't see how spatial audio or Dolby audio...
Spatial audio makes total sense for the cinema experience. But for the listening to music experience, makes no sense to me. And anybody out there that wants to say I sound stupid for saying that, bring it on. Because it just sounds stupid.
I wouldn't say it's stupid. I would just say it's an opinion. You know, it's just, you know, people like different things.
Yes, and that's my opinion. My opinion is that it's stupid.
Yeah, no, my opinion is that I haven't experienced it to weigh in on the opinion. I think the concept is silly. I think it's pandering to... in most cases, music doesn't sound good on cinema speakers. It just doesn't. You know, live music is different because live music doesn't sound good hardly at all. Anyway, but it's the crowd roar and you're seeing the artist on the big screen and all that, that kind of creates that frenzy for some people of being at a live event. I've never experienced that.
So my question on that then is, if you're going to do that in spatial audio, every time they change a camera angle, that's going to change your listening field, Dan.
Yeah, it should.
Which is
just like a video, just like a video game.
Which
in a video game,
makes sense.
If you go to, if you're playing a video game, I've actually watched this on a Trinov on the back end, where it shows what channels are playing what. If you go internally into the inner workings or inner menus of a Trinov, as you move the character on the video game, the sphere pans this way too. The audio sphere pans with your video game,
right,
and that's how a video game is created. But
right, but think about with concert videos, how quickly it changes from like focusing onto the lead singer to then the guitar player is running across the stage and they chase him then, and then they pan out and they show the whole crowd then, and then is it gonna like come around to where all of a
sudden
you hear more?
Well, that's
of the
what
crowd
I'm saying.
Then?
I don't know. I don't think it's you know, concert again. Most live concert audio has to be so doctored after the fact because it just is. Most of it's garbage. You know, most of it. You know, unless it's something like a Radio City Music Hall, like with Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, where it was people weren't yelling and screaming the whole time, and it was something that was an intimate venue and setting. That's different than when you go watch Nine Inch Nails live or Red Hot Chili Peppers live or whatever you're watching on, or Metallica Symphony live. You know, it's one of those things where,
as I lay dying.
Yeah, it just whatever you name it, and most of that audio isn't great. But if it's something like I watched the Ed Sheeran event on Apple that was recorded in the Apple, whatever, Cooperstown, whatever it was, Cortaquina or Cortana, whatever the heck they called it. I don't know what they called it. The new stadium that Apple built in California on their headquarters. When they had Ed Sheeran out and it was a live Ed Sheeran concert and it was a very intimate thing and it was very well recorded. And there was a lot of panning and spherical panning. And I think that was more of an experiment just to see how far they could take the envelope and make a difference. But it wasn't your normal concert where people were, you know, yelling like you don't have this constant hiss in the background like you do with most live recording. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm not going to check it off the list, but I can tell you this. You and I were at Acedia 2 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
I think so.
And we went to go see this 15 channel system, and I'm not going to say the vendor's name, but it was an all highest end series in wall system that you could see. And you and I walked in there several times waiting for them to audition a movie. And they kept playing atmospheric and spherical music. And it was everything from Bohemian Rhapsody to Guns N' Roses to Def Leppard. And
all stuff that was not filmed in atmospheric.
Right.
Not
well, no,
recorded
but
in
but there was nothing on the TV screen except the art, the cover work of whatever they were streaming. And you and I kind of looked at each other and like, what are we doing? Like, what are they doing? Like, when are they going to start? In fact, I even talked to that vendor. And yes, I'm not mentioning your name, but you know who you are. And I said, hey, when are they going to start showing like some movie stuff so we can hear this thing really hit and open up? And they were like, oh, no, I think this is what we have planned for the deal. And I was like, well, you don't have any movie trailers? Like, you can't walk over to Kaleidoscape and get a, you know, server real quick and hook it up? So people that came to hear this giant $20,000 AV receiver
to
with
see
all that
video stuff at a video convention,
right? Yeah, no, and it was lackluster for me. But then when we were painting, I wasn't painting. God, you don't want that. We were painting the cinema,
finger and, paintings,
right? No, we were just changing the room color and listening to atmospheric music in a cinema aspect, and it was Appetite for Destruction, an album I've heard a million times, and it was pretty neat. I don't know if it was neat enough for me to just do it again, but you could literally hear Axl Rose running from one side to the other, but I just don't know if I want that, you know, because to me, that's not how it would sound if I was sitting in a live room with them. You know, he wouldn't be running from one side of the room to the other. He would be standing still, just like we're doing, in front of a microphone and singing his face off. You know, so I'm with you. I think it's it wasn't what we were jumping into today, but it's fine. I like the topic. I think it's more of a TBD thing. You know, it's interesting, but I don't know if it holds my interest.
Well, mini discs were interesting too, and look at where that went.
So mini discs were created as a format that would not skip in the car. That's why they were created to begin with. But smaller the disc, less jitter, less room for error when it bounces and things. And then the problem was is Sony did not want to share their tech with everybody else. They wanted to be the only person that sold the player, and that's why they died.
And because of that, there were also only certain artists you could get albums of because they had to be a Sony artist.
That was also a thing too, and which now they have a lot of artists.
But hey, just like the mixtape, I could make my own mix CDs of whoever I wanted to on those discs. F you, Sony.
Tony makes a point for physical media.
Ding. Yeah. No. So I don't know. I don't know what the world holds for that. I do know that there is an opening for more video to be shot in the live music category.
Video makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
Video makes sense. Just listening to an album, I'm not going to sit there and pull out my old Appetite for Destruction album or my, you know, my Megadeth Symphony of Destruction, you know, or any of that stuff, you know, and say, oh, man, now I'm going to be sitting in the middle of the band.
But you
it's going to be awesome.
You know who would be cool to listen to in spatial or atmospheric would be Nine Inch Nails.
Pink Floyd.
Skinny Puppy. Pink Floyd.
Skinny Puppy, maybe.
It was barely music to begin with. But what I'm saying is Ministry, Tool.
Einstürzende Neubauten would be awesome.
Tool would be awesome, you know, in atmospheric or spherical or
spatial. Oh,
yeah,
like that song you love so much, you would want to hear that in atmospheric.
For the love of all that is holy, I'm going to put a sign on the building that says...
Is it
going to
be like the No Stairway sign?
It'll be like the No Stairway sign, yeah. But for Chocolate Chip Trip, it's just... That is the most...
Unmusical song.
Do you remember the time the guy kept us after hours and...
Which time?
True. And we were listening. It was this horribly recorded Indian music, you know, or Bollywood or Bollywood. I don't even know. What do you call that genre?
I'm going to upset some people and say all of that music is recorded horribly. But if you look at it also, it's also listened horribly over in the countries that most of that music is made.
Oh, that's also very true. But
you know, they don't a lot of the people over there don't even know what a good speaker is.
So
they're used to hearing it through a bullhorn.
We were listening to like 35 minutes of that, right?
Yes.
And then he goes, "Do you have any Tool?" And I was like,
"Oh, yeah, dude."
I was like, "Couldn't we have just started with Tool?" You know.
I know, it would have been better if he asked for something like Sober or,
right,
you know, something like that.
Anemia, something, yeah, but it was just,
No, we went all the way south.
You went Chocolate Chip Drip again. It's that, and then there's another track with nothing but somebody beating on like Chinese drums. There's that one too. A lot of audio files like that one as well, and I'm just like, and it's like 8 minutes of it. It just doesn't stop. You know, so
it's like very experimental, just like a Future Sound of London. If you ever listen to them, and if you haven't, they're really good.
Yeah.
But
Rush,
very
so Rush would be a cool spatial audio. Boston would be a cool spatial audio. Chicago would be a you know, things that are Eagles. If you like the Eagles, would be cool spatial audio. Even some Dire Straits tracks would be good spatial audio. But I mean, I could see Nine Inch Nails being cool. You know, I could see Trent Reznor doing some really weird stuff with spatial audio.
Well, I mean, he's done really weird stuff, too. Like, he made a whole follow-up album that not a lot of people know about to the Broken album called Fixed. And it had a lot of really weird stuff.
Even Skinny puppy-like
even
stuff.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that was on it has been featured in movies, and people don't even realize that it's quote-unquote songs.
Yeah.
Because it's so way out there in the way that he did these songs.
All right.
But, you know.
Yeah, no, so... Yeah, I don't know where that category is going to go. I don't know if it's going to stick. I don't.
But just, once again, you know. Where do people do most of their listening?
Their car.
Okay. So once again, spatial audio doesn't make sense if I'm sitting in my car and all of a sudden I got sounds that are all the way in the back speakers of my car, and I can't even enjoy it because I'm the driver and I'm driving down the road. But then I've got all of one sound in my left speaker, like. Blasting me in the ear there, and I'm losing all the other stuff.
So there's a point to that. So there's a point when you're hearing things in the back, you're never not hearing things in the front. So there's a point where it's panning. There's a lot of panning involved. You know, if you go listen to
being a recording.
Well, if you listen to earlier Beatles. Stuff the Beatles actually started a lot of the whole pan from the left to the right to the left to the right over and over and over again. But now if you listen to a Beatles in spatial, it's left, right, up, sideways, back, left, right, up. You know, it's just it's kind of a spherical thing. But the Beatles
nauseating.
Well, the Beatles remixed a lot of their stuff for that Cirque du Soleil thing that they had in Vegas, you know, the...
Right, which in a situation like that, okay, now we're talking about something that makes sense again. We're talking about in a visual situation.
Right, yeah.
Not sitting in my car, driving across the country.
Listening to Cirque du Soleil, yeah. In your car, I don't know. I don't have a heavy opinion on it. You know, I understand the tech behind it. I understand the methodology behind it. But I can't tell you how disappointed I was when I wanted to go see this system. You know, we drove to Dallas to go see this system, and that's all they were playing. And I was just like, really? You know, so and that was in the very early days of the Dolby Spatial stuff, you know, like in the music category. So it wasn't even really some of the best stuff that's being released as of right now. So, but I could see it being fun with some artist, but it's more of a, hey, check out my seat shakers, and you turn them on, and then you turn them off.
And then people are like, all right, you can turn it off now.
Right. So, yeah, no, but going back full circle, do you have a compromise? Are you compromising something with using an audiophile grade speaker in a cinema? If you go to a cinema, they're not using audiophile grade speakers. They're using DJ speakers, if you want to be honest about it. You know, they're using QSC, they're using JBL, they're using... Dolby or STS or Myers, or I think Myers is STS, but it just they're using Klipsch. Klipsch is another one that they use. So, you know, that's what they're using to reproduce movies. However, you have to keep in mind that that type of speaker is created and used to create an effect in a very large venue.
Most of those speakers are designed to throw 50 feet.
Right. Correct. Yeah, no, 50 feet. And most cinemas are probably 70 to 80 feet back in most cases, if not more. But, you know, especially the stadium ones that kind of arc up and everything else. And, you know, it's totally...
Actually, what people don't realize is a lot of times want to sit closer to watch the movie, but if they want the better sound, they sit further back.
They need to be in the middle, actually toward the middle or toward the back. Yeah, not the very, very back, but yeah.
Yeah.
But if you don't want it to be too loud and you have a sensitivity to loud noises, then you do want to sit in the back because you're at the decay part of the wave. You're not at the hot part, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So, yeah, no, there's a couple things, but And that would be a great conversation for our expert to weigh in on, you know, and you cannot get more of an expert than this guy, you know, that's works, gets to play with the big toys all the time. So, but, he was actually one of those that helped build that monstrosity in Richmond, the micro lead wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he was on that team. So, anyway, but, you know, I don't know. That's, to me, if it were me, I would rather have a listening room and a cinema. I would not want a cinema / listening room and use it as a multi-purpose. Because again, I have a set of, I have a favorite type of speakers for music, and then I have a favorite cinema speaker, and they do not align or sound even close to the same. You know, if you think about the way music is all real sounds. It's real instruments, real voices, real percussion, real notes, real imperfections. But if you go listen to cinema, you've heard this time and time again, it's synthetic, it's synthesized sound. It's sound that's created as somebody's watching a TV screen and he's creating the sound of what a punch should sound like, or what glass breaking should sound like, or, you know, what, you know, rain should sound like, or whatever, recording on a microphone, very similar to what we're using right now. So, and that's what they're doing. So therefore it's not real sound. It's still real sound, but it's interpretations of sound that you're seeing.
It's usually nowhere near what the action is.
No, not at all. You know, you actually think they're recording an explosion. No, they're not. The explosions are created.
Well, like thunder is just them rippling a sheet metal.
Yeah. No. So, well, a lightsaber was somebody walking down the hallway. It was a sound guy walking down the hallway with an open mic or a hot mic, wireless mic, and he picked up electricity or a tube, I think it was walked by some monitors, tube monitors, and that was the sound. And Lucas was like, "What was that?" And then that was the lightsaber sound. And then they
the clash was a wrench on the cable of a power tape.
Oh, I didn't know a power line.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Line.
Yeah. They took a wrench and hit that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So again, so there are certain speakers that are better than other, but you got to start first with finding something that you enjoy. So rule number one, making an experience. Rule number two, listening is subjective. Rule number three, you know, lightly tread the opinions of what you're seeing in forums. You know, take it as a guideline, maybe as something to read about more, and what I call dog earmark it or bookmark it or dog ear it, and then move forward from there. So, and then rule number three, rule number four, they're all running together into one big rule. Use the right tool for the job. That was the last rule, is use the right tool for the job, use the right tool for the application. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of the brands and all this other things. But
the fourth rule, use the right tool. Don't use a dump truck for date night.
Depends on the date.
If she's that big, then you might want to reevaluate things.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a cast. It's good to have you on board on Mondays, man. We just, you know, it's I can't tell you. Mondays have been hard for me. I think the past two on a Monday I've done on my own.
Yeah, I think for sure it's been the past two.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about making it Wednesday and Friday, but, you know, it's you guys like content. You know, you consume it. So it's like if we have one day where it's off, then it's like numbers fall through the floor. So, but you should catch up, because a lot of you haven't caught up on some of these episodes too.
And share these episodes with your friends, you know.
You're not on the mic. There you go.
Share these episodes with your friends. If they're nerds like you, they'll want to hear this also.
If they're nerds like you, you need to invite them.
Anyway, but I think that's a cast. So going into home theater rule number four, you know, use the right tool for the job. And we're going to talk about all the tools, all the things, all the jobs, and then try atmospheric sound for yourself. You know, you can get it on Apple TV. I don't think they call it Atmos. I think they call it Spatial on Apple. So I think they probably don't want to pay the Dolby licensing is probably what it is, but who knows? We'll have to ask somebody from Apple once we get them on the show. But but looking at how Dolby is created, Dolby audio, Dolby sound is created, and what Apple is doing, Apple is taking a very different approach than Dolby has, for sure. Dolby's just kind of redoing what they've always done for movies. But Apple is actually going into the studio with a lot of these older things, and they're going back and looking at all the track recordings and then remixing them to be multi-track. So that's kind of interesting in comparison to Dolby dropping it into a canister and then remixing it, you know. So a lot of interesting things on that one. So like or subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
You must like or subscribe. People that love puppies, like and subscribe.
I mean, right? People that don't like or subscribe kick puppies? I mean, I don't know.
Possibly.
Like and subscribe and look for more things on YouTube. I am working on a trailer for that. So for our launch, we kind of did a test video to see what the team thought of it, and thus far it's all been good feedback and funny feedback, and you know, we were trying to make it a little on the cheesy side, which is why we did what we did, trying to keep interest and make boring topics fun. So I think that's a cast. So next show will probably go heavier into theater unless my ADHD brain jumps into something else or Tony see something cool, and then we'll just kind of jump into that topic. But I don't think we have any new date news from that, from the venue sipping thing.
The Wine and Vinyl, like the 13th, is not going to happen. That it's not going to be on that date. It's
not the Wine and Vinyl, the Paint and Sip.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You said Wine and Vinyl.
Okay. The painting thing is not going to happen
on April 13th. Okay, got it. So no painting thing on April 13th, so we'll have to go back to the drawing board on the day. That's the weekend of the thing, right? Wasn't that the original?
Yeah, that's why.
That's the original art festival? Okay.
Especially from 2 to 4 that's been proposed to me, definitely not going to happen.
Okay, got it. Okay, so that's not going to be a thing, so we'll go back to the drawing board with Shelley to try to figure out what the date is on that and what the dealio is on that. And then we'll just keep you posted on Wine and Vinyl as the process continues and we move forward with all of the things. So that's a cast. I'm Justin.
And this is Tony.
And this is Technology Rocks. And remember, only good people like and subscribe. Don't be a bad person.
All right, that's a cast, you guys. See you next week. No, we'll see you in a couple days with something new and fun. And keep us posted on what you guys want to listen to. We'll see you when we see you.